This is the Florida Spectacular Podcast with your hosts, Kathy Silustri and Rick Kilby. Keep up with Kathy at greatfloridaroadtrip.com and on Twitter and Instagram at Kathy Silustri. Find Rick on Twitter at OldFLA and visit his website, rickkilby.com. Now, discover a Florida you never knew existed.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to this week's episode of the Florida Spectacular. Rick Kilby is not joining us this week. In the grand tradition of making up something when he's not on the podcast, I will tell you this week that he is cave diving in the Amazon. So, Rick, we hope you make it back. Be safe. And we have a guest today who is not Rick, and it is Tara Lush. Hi, Tara. Tamara? Tara.
Either one. Thanks for having me. My real name's Tamara. My pen name is Tara.
Tara. And I wanted you on the podcast because your fiction books about Florida, well, they're all about Florida, really. I'm not talking about your sexy time books.
All of my mysteries are Florida set. Although I will say I have one coming out, a novella coming out that's set in Vermont.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm going to forgive you for that. It's okay. You have a couple of different series. You have the, I know we have the Coffee Lovers series that I love and I've reviewed that, but you also have the cat and the college professor and the haunted inn.
Crescent Moon Mysteries.
Crescent Moon. I knew that because I love your I love your titles for books. I Want Your Hex, I think, was my favorite title. And then you have the Gator.
Yeah, series. We call that the Critters and Criminals series.
Oh, Critters. That sounds so friendly.
It's friendly, sort of.
So which of those three are your favorite? Is your favorite?
You know, I never thought I would love writing paranormal. I never thought I could write paranormal. And then I wrote the Crescent Moon series, which I'm still working on. And I love it. And I'm so totally into that, that is my favorite series now.
Why didn't you think you could write that? I mean, you do it so well.
Thank you. I didn't think that I could write in a different, like with magic and witches. And I don't know. I was so rooted in the modern, but it just sort of took over. I had a couple of ideas. I was inspired by a couple of things and I just started writing last year, actually.
So what took over? I mean, did it start as something that just started niggling around in your brain and you couldn't avoid it? Or did you say, I'm going to write about paranormal and think about it and then write it?
Well, I wanted to write about a midlife heroine, for one thing. None of my other heroines were all younger, like, you know, around 25 to 30. So I wanted to write a midlife heroine. And then actually I went to a small town in California with my parents. It was a small gold rush town called Folsom, you know, like Folsom Prison Blues.
Yes.
So went there and there was this hotel there that was like, it turned into a bar, and us being the Lush family, we stopped in for a drink.
That is your real last name.
That is my real last name. And so it was this old sort of gold rush era hotel that had turned into like a bar and whatever else was going on upstairs. But it looked haunted. It was really cool. And I couldn't stop thinking about the hotel. I couldn't stop looking at the photos. And so I was like, I'm going to write a common cozy mystery trope where someone inherits an inn and takes it over at midlife. But then it turns out it's haunted and there's ghosts. And so I set it in a place that's similar to Casadega, psychic capital of the world. Only my place, Cypress Grove, is a little like Dade City, a little like Gulfport, a lot like Gulfport, really. And Casadega, where there's witches and psychics and Reiki healers and masseuses and all sorts of metaphysical healers. It's sort of this place where magic happens and everyone's cool with it.
I want to point out Gulfport has fewer dead bodies.
Fewer dead bodies, yes.
Fewer dead bodies. We do have a labyrinth and we do have some weird shit going on, but I like any Florida fiction. I am a junkie. You can write anything about Florida fiction. It can be Lauren Groff, Florida. It can be a cozy mystery. I'm not particularly fussy because I like it when writers can engage a sense of place. And I'm always fascinated by this thing we do as writers that we don't, now I don't do this in my nonfiction and none of my fiction has as of yet been published, but we don't want to just create a city and say, oh, this is based on Sanibel, or, oh, this is based on whatever. Like, well, it's a little bit of that and a little bit of this. And it's because we want to just tweak it. Yeah. And I, you know, I see this, I don't know many, there are some South Florida fiction writers, crime writers, and some Tampa crime writers who will say it's in Tampa or it's in Miami, but anything smaller than that metro area, it's like we want to smudge the lens a little bit, if that makes sense.
It totally does. It totally does. Gulfport, in terms of layout, in terms of the downtown and sort of the size, I would say that Cypress Grove, which is the town in my paranormal series, I would say Gulfport to Lakeland is about the size of Cypress Grove. It's a little bigger than you would think. It's not like teeny tiny, you know.
Well, you have to have room to expand the world, right?
Right, right. And there is, in my worlds, there are Walmarts and there are, you know, there's the sprawl on the edge of town. I like it to be realistic. I mean, even though there are people, you know, there are witches and ghosts and, you know, the ghost in book one of the series, he haunts the hotel. And one of his quirks is that he turns off the air conditioner in August.
Yeah, that's just a shitty thing to do.
It is. And our heroine is in perimenopause. So she already hates the ghost, you know, from day one.
I'm not scared of the ghost. I just have a lot of rage.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. She's ready to take on the ghost just to have air conditioning.
And as long as we're talking about this series, you have to give a shout out to the best cat name ever, Freddie Mercury.
Yes, the cat is named Freddie Mercury. We do find out in book four that he can see ghost cats, ghost animals, possibly.
Okay, I'm not to book four yet. I'm so behind. I'm looking over at my stack of books guiltily, not to count my digital stack of books. And
okay, book four just came out Friday.
I know, but I got to get to it. I feel like you're a colleague and also a friend, and I should read your books first.
It's
and
okay.
What was I doing buying two more books at a bookstore last night?
It's really okay. I totally understand. It's very hard. I'm way behind, and I just bought Myrtle. Do you know about Myrtle?
I saw it on your Instagram post last night, and I have to. I have to put this in the show notes, because if I don't put it in the show notes, our readers will be very upset because they need to know about it. Myrtle. Tell us about Myrtle.
It's basically logic and skill puzzles kind of combined with Wordle. And you kind of figure out these little mini whodunits, but it's like a logic puzzle. And it completely makes my brain like buzz.
So they have a
really cool.
They have a daily puzzle and they have a book as well, right?
Yeah, I think they have many books. I saw multiple books at the store.
I can do it online. I can do it online. I don't have to buy a new book.
No, you don't. But I haven't tried it online. I just bought the book, and so I've been like hanging out with my Myrtle book.
Oh, okay. Well, so that is a new distraction. Mm-hmm. And it's basically a mystery, right? They're just logic problems.
Yeah, they're like little mystery logic problems that would have probably frustrated me like when I was younger. And now it's like, oh, this is cool. I can figure it out. And I feel like this sense of accomplishment.
Well, it's good to have those things. I have my to-do list. That's how I feel a sense of accomplishment.
You do a lot.
So I'm sorry, going back to Freddie Mercury and the series and your books and things like that. I like, you talked about having Walmart adjacent worlds and things like that. And I think your most recent Coffee Lovers mystery, you made a point of saying she was making dinner and she had to leave the island. Like the outside world is out there. And I actually enjoy that because it's not realistic to think that all these people survive on whatever the small town.
Right. Exactly. And I love, especially in the coffee series, I love this idea that they can go elsewhere. Like, I had plans for that series that they would go elsewhere and solve murders elsewhere off island, you know, for one book or two books. But that series got canceled by the publisher. So at this
point, the publisher was stupid.
Well,
I can say it. You can't. I know.
But so I, you know, there's an overarching mystery that has not been solved with that. And maybe someday I'll write the book. I'd like to finish that series.
I have a lot of questions about that series. You can't not finish that series. I need to know what happened to her best friend. I need to see the romance come to a little more fruition than this. But mostly I need to know what happened to her friend. You have to finish that. You have a moral responsibility to finish that series.
I need to think about the best way to do that.
Well, I can't help you there. I can barely get my own books across the finish line anymore.
I need to think about it's not the story part that I need to think about. I need to think about the distribution part of that, how I will.
I get that, because you don't have a publisher to distribute it anymore.
Right. And I could self-publish it, but I feel like that might not be the best course of action either.
I can't imagine. Can you? Okay, so this is a very insider baseball thing, but I'm sure that somebody listening to us is also a writer or a hopeful writer. Can you buy the rights back from the publisher, or do they revert to you if they choose not to publish them? I mean, you should have to buy your own rights back if they're not publishing it. That's crappy.
Well, those books are still selling, so they're just not selling enough for them to want another book, basically.
I gotcha. And do you know where they sold statewide? Were they primarily a Florida sale? Do you get that information from?
I have some information, but not anything significant. No, because part of the issue, part of the thing with Crooked Lane is that it's owned by Book of the Month Club. So the books are among the offerings in Book of the Month. So a lot of the books sold are hardcovers through that service. So no, I have decisions to make about that series.
Well, do me a favor, and this is not fair to our listeners. If you decide not to do anything, can you just tell me what happened? Like, I won't tell anybody else, because that's like one of those things that I feel like when a television show, when the network cancels a show and there's loose ends, they should give the production team one last episode just to finish that up.
Right. Like, that was my initial, like, five books, final book, that mystery is solved. Like, that was my thought. But we're only on book four. So
I'm excited. I love that there's somebody like you and that it's you out there actually doing these things, writing these mysteries about Florida, because I think it also inspires people to seek out these bits of Florida. Right. I want to go see where she wrote about. So,
yeah, I think a lot of people think. Yeah, I've had people email me and ask me about Casadega. I've had people email me and ask about, you know, the fictional islands that are sort of loosely based on, you know, Sanibel, Anna Maria. And so I tell them about it. I think that people are intrigued about Florida that's not Disney and Miami.
Absolutely.
About a Florida that is, and I try to put in a lot of people in my books that are native Floridians. And I try to get a lot of diversity in my books as well, because that's our Florida, really. I try to have a Florida that I wish was here, and that I do think is here, and that I do think that I've found in pockets of St. Pete and Gulfport and Pinellas County and elsewhere, but mostly on this side of the state.
No, I get it. It's you want to create the world that could be. Mm-hmm. So I've been waking up, not the past couple of nights, because I've actually been tired enough to sleep through the night. About a month ago, I started waking up about 2:30, 3 o'clock, and finally couldn't get back to sleep until 5, which is not, you know, that's kind of hard to wake up at a regular time. But finally, I decided, screw this, I'm just going to start writing, because I have a fiction, I have a series I've been working on for years. I've only finished one of them. you know, I'm the worst about it and it's time to get serious, which is why I was so excited to have you on the podcast because you really do inspire me. So I've been writing in the middle of the night, which is the perfect time to write mysteries. And one of the things I love about it, it's set on, it's an amalgam of two Florida towns plus what I want in my imagination those towns to be. And I love the world building. Like you can say, but what if we made this? And what if we did this and all that? And it's fun. And I think people enjoy reading that because when you do that, especially when you do it with your series, you've created this world and they can know when they pick up the next book, they're going to go back to that small town. Yeah. They're going to have a good time.
Totally. That's totally the appeal of cozy mysteries. I mean, I think that people like the puzzle of trying to figure out who did the mystery, but they really love the setting and the characters and they consider them friends. And I think that that's the coolest part about cozy mysteries is that creating this world that's safe and kind for people. That's really the overarching, you know, message of my cozy mysteries is that there is this safe, kind place for other human beings. And everybody, you know, not only do you make friends there, but for the most part, if you're not being murdered, for the most part.
If you're not being murdered, I like that. But only the bad people get murdered.
You know, and so the other thing is sometimes in these mysteries, it's a cold case. So it's not like, not that that makes it any better, but it's not like the people in, like the characters in the books knew the people who died. It's they're several decades old, or they have to explain a disappearance or investigate that. And in one, my latest, I don't even have a murder. It's a novella, so I can sort of get away with that. But it's just, it's why is the cookie jar haunted? Our sleuth buys a cookie jar at the local market and a farmer's market, and the cookie jar is haunted. And so what happens and what's the situation with that? So she has to figure that out along with Freddie Mercury.
Are the cookies haunted?
The cookies are not haunted, just the jar. There's no cookies in the jar. But then she wakes up the next morning and smells like this delicious baking scent. And so she has a seance to figure out who is haunting the cookie jar.
I kind of want to ask you who it is, but I know you're not going to tell me.
No, I can tell you it's in the blurb. The haunted cookie jar is an elderly woman named Eliza, and she was a baker and she would give out her recipes to other people in town. And she had a spicy fling with Jim Morrison in the late 60s. And she,
you know, he did go to junior college here.
Well, and she even made her cheddar biscuits for him one time. And she has to get back to, she has to cross over fully, but she was not buried with her recipe book. So our sleuth has to find the recipe book because she has an otherworldly debt with her friends, her mahjong debt with her friends.
This is some deep thinking.
It is some deep thinking, yes. But this is all in a novella and it's very sweet. And there's a ghost cat and there's, you know, like the dedication of the book says to my readers who value kindness like that, like it's almost like a radical act these days to write about kindness. But that's really like what this series is about, like being kind to middle-aged women, having a life as a middle-aged woman, letting go, embracing your true power. Like that's really the message of these books. It's not, I've done it, but.
Yeah, I mean, and if you were going to say it a different way, it's the message of being kind and not giving a fuck, really.
Well, yes. Even though I don't use swear words in these, like these are true cozy mysteries. I do not swear, which is hard for me since I'm a former journalist and I swear like a fucker.
Well, but newsrooms bring it out in everybody. Mm-hmm. So let's talk. So first of all, when the show notes, tell our readers the name of the particular novella so I can link to that in case they're curious and they want to just dip their toes
that
in.
That one is Catitude and Charms.
That's the one and a half, yes.
Yes, that's the novella.
With Haunted Cookie Jar. I love some of the things I get to type. And just where do you prefer people buy these books?
These are available on Amazon.
Right, so do the local booksellers sell these?
I believe so. Books at Park Place has the first three, I believe, unless they've sold out. I have to bring them more books. And Tombolo may have a few as well. And Barnes & Noble can order them. You can also buy the paperbacks on Barnes & Noble online.
Okay. Well, I meant more indie books. No disrespect to...
Yeah. No, if you go into Park Place or Tombolo, I'm pretty sure they can order them. I'm certain they can order them. And they may have some copies, although they might have sold out.
Okay, so we'll link to books at Park Place and Tombolo.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that any indie bookstore can order them. It's not like it's special to those.
Gotcha.
But if you contact one of those two places, there's a chance there will be a signed book there.
Gotcha. That's better. Signed is nice. People like signed. So what is a cozy mystery? You said that. But what is a cozy mystery? You talk about it's a true cozy. It doesn't have any swearing in it. So what are the rules for cozies?
So cozy mystery technically is just, it's like a traditional mystery, but it's usually about like domestic matters and like a comforting setting. I don't think there's any hard and fast rule about swearing, but it's kind of generally accepted that there's not a lot of swearing. And it's usually cozy mysteries are an amateur sleuth, usually a woman, often a woman who is middle-aged or elderly, although that's changing. There's other genders and other age groups now with cozy mysteries. I think the genre is becoming more diverse, which is excellent. Another thing is that, you know, the gore and the violence is off page.
So is the sex, right?
So is the sex, yeah. And sometimes there's no romance. I have romance in mind because I'm also a romance writer. So I do have romance in mind, but it's the action is off screen. Although there's a fair bit of, like, there's romance, definitely. You know, think Agatha Christie. Only Murders in the Building is a really, really good example of a cozy mystery. Although there is swearing, I still consider it a cozy mystery. Like, I would say Only Murders is probably the best modern example of a cozy mystery.
And I can't get enough of that damn show.
Beginning. My goodness.
Goodness gracious.
Best. Truly the best. Yeah, especially this season. I think that this season's crime and setup is just perfect cozy mystery.
How much time do you spend thinking about ways people can die?
Not that much, strangely.
So I think about it a lot. The book I'm working on now, I wanted the bad guy to die in a scuba accident. And I literally woke up the other morning. I was writing in the middle of the night, woke up. My husband woke up and goes, how'd it go? I'm like, well, he's dead.
Yeah.
He's wearing scuba gear, but I don't know what happened. And of course, my wonderful husband comes up with three ways instantly. Like, I should be alarmed at how easily he can figure out how to kill somebody or whatever. I'm like, ooh, okay. Well, it's fantastic.
That's the first thing I do when I plot a book is I figure out who died and how. And who killed them?
See, I don't know who killed this guy yet. This is a backwards thing. This is why I haven't finished.
I find it easier to start with that and then kind of plot backwards.
You're a planner?
I'm completely a plotter. I plot heavily while I'm writing. I replot the next few chapters. I'm constantly plotting and constantly, like, I have a pretty good idea of what I'm writing as I write.
That's nice. My plans never seem to go the way I want them to.
Mine don't either, but I continue to plot. Like, I need a roadmap even if I don't follow it.
I should try that. Yeah, you're an inspiration. I'm sorry. Anything to do with anything else, but you're an inspiration.
Works for me. I think it was like I was so, when I got the idea of writing a cozy mystery, I had written about 15 romances. And I was kind of worried that I wouldn't be able to like put in all of the clues and the red herrings and everything. And so I plotted it really heavily. I never plotted my romance that heavily. And I have just continued to do that. The other thing is, once you start writing a series, after a few books, it gets a little easier because you know your characters and you know how they act. So that gets easier. Writing a series is much easier, actually, than a standalone, I think.
Do you ever write with other people, or do you write, you don't have a writing group, you have a...
No, I mean, I do. There's a cozy writing group. There's a cozy sprint writing group that meets every morning. And I have gone on that, but I don't. I like to write on my own. I'm starting to dabble now with dictation, which is how I can get a lot of stuff done quickly. I dictate some of my work because, again, it's easier. I know my characters. I know my world. And so I can dictate and get more words down in a writing session.
I don't know if I could do that. That's fascinating. You mentioned that to me once before, and I don't know if I could. My brain doesn't work that way.
Yeah, it really is like a matter of training your brain to work that way. And it helps if you've already started writing the book. And I get out my coloring book and my coloring pencils, and I just dictate as I color. It's almost like I just sort of channel the story. It's pretty cool. It's a cool experience. And I'm trying to get better at it. I can do it for like about a half hour. I can get a couple thousand words in a half hour. They're not great words, but it's something. And it gets me to move the story forward.
That makes sense. All right. Well, I have a lot to read and a lot to think about. And we are going to have a list. What I've done in the show notes is we have a link to each of your series on Goodreads, and then we have a link to Catitude and Charms. I included the link to Myrtle. I don't think we missed anything else other than your website, which I'll put in later. A lot of times this podcast talks about some very weighty issues, and one of our recent podcasts was about the Withlacoochee land swap or the state parks where they wanted to build golf courses and pickleball courts. So this is a really nice break this week to be able to talk about fun things like haunted cookie jars and ghosts and dead bodies.
No, I'll stop you. I will say that there is something that is sort of prevalent in all of my cozy mysteries, and that is Old Florida versus New Florida and development. In the Criminals and Critters, where I have an alligator trapper, natural Florida, wild Florida, preserving wild Florida is a theme in that book, and it's a subtle theme in all of my books.
Well, that should be a theme in every book, but that's me. That's not the same thing as the world is on fire, which is sometimes how I feel when we talk about these environmental issues. This is just dead bodies, which is... It's really just very organic future fertilizer. That's how I see it.
So, yep, exactly. Anyway,
thanks for being on the show, and I've got to go read all your books now. I've just blown the rest of my day.
Thank you for having me.
All right. We'll see you next time, folks. If you have any questions, remember Kathy@floridaspectacular.com. That's Kathy with a C. We'll see you next week. Thanks for joining us.